We continue our learning. We are in Yom Paragimel, Mishnah Tess. Balo lemizrach ha'azara. Now the Kohen Gadol comes to the east of the Azara. We had mentioned that the Kohen Gadol was very close to the Ulam. He was standing right there for his par. So that was as far west in the Azara before entering the Heichal that he could potentially be. And now he moved to an area that, relative to where he was, would be called the east. So that's why it says Mizrach Azara. And where was he? Litzfon HaMizbeach. It was the north part of the Mizbeach, right opposite the Mizbeach. And we're going to speak about the Seirim. Now the Seirim, unlike the Par, the Seirim were not stood between the Ulam and the Mizbeach as we did with the Par. They were, according to some, on the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. They weren't placed right next to the Ulam because we don't need them till a little bit later, so we can move them away from the Ulam. And of course, we want to keep them away from closer to the Heichal, further away from the Heichal as possible. So if they relieve themselves, it won't be a disgrace. Hasgan Mimino, it was the Sgan, Kohen Gadol II, to Kohen Gadol, who was to the right of the Kohen Gadol. And Varosh Beis Av, Mismolo. The head of the Beis Av, we mentioned that there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim, and each week we would have a Mishmar. Each day was divided into a Beis Av, those family groups, on a specific day of the week. And this went on. It may not have gone on exactly the same on Shalosh Regalim, but as on a typical day, it went on in Yom Kippur as well. So whoever was the head of that Beis Av, of that particular day that happened to fall on Yom Kippur, he would accompany the Kohen Gadol. So the Sgan Kohen Gadol was on the right. The Rosh Beis Av was on his left. Vishum Shnei Seirim, and there were two Seirim. One we know is going to be shechted and have the blood sprinkled in the both in the Heichal and in the Kodesh HaKodesh. And the other will be Lazazil. The Kalpi HaYisashom, and they had this box, this lottery box. It was made of wood, and it was two tfachim wide that was sitting there. Shel Eshka Uval Shnei Gorolos, and inside there were two lots, which we know that we're going to decide. We didn't determine yet which is Lazazel and which is Lashem. So this was done by a lot. Shel Eshka Roahayu. It tells you that they originally were made of boxwood. These two lottery boxes, but Va'asan Ben Gamla Shel Zahav, and Ben Gamla made them out of gold. Vahumaskuno so l'shevach, and they would praise him for the fact that he made them out of gold to show how precious they were, and they would now be more expensive. This is the same Yeshua ben Gamla who we mentioned in Bava Basra on Daf Chaf Aleph. He was the one who used to be a father toward his child, and then the Gemara says that eventually he started a school system in Yerushalayim, and then in the others, and then in every city. This way, people whose parents couldn't teach them Torah, so there would be a yeshiva system for them to learn. Yeshua ben Gamla and his his wife. According to the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Samach Aleph, his wife paid a lot of money, a lot of gold. They obviously were very wealthy for him to come to Kohen Gadol. It's a question that we've shown him, how good could he have been if he paid his way into the Kuna Gadola? But apparently, based certainly from the Chinuch perspective, he was a wonderful person. And here as well, the fact that he made the Goralos out of gold, and that's Ben Gamla, therefore they mention him, L'Shevach. And now in Parakimel Mishnah Yud, once we mention Ben Gamla, how we praised him for was something that he did, the Mishnah is going to go on to speak about other people who did things in the Mikdash, some of them who we praise, some of them who we criticize. Ben Katin, Asar Shneim, Asar Dad Lakior. Parakimel Mishnah Yud says that Ben Katin, who was a Kohen Gadol, and he improved the Kior. The Kior used to have Shelo Hayul El Shneim, the Mishnah says. There used to be only two spouts that came out of the Kior, but he wanted to make sure that there were enough for all the Kohanim who won the lottery. Those, we know there were 13 Kohanim who were going to do that service of that day, of that Korban HaTamid. So this way, no one have to wait online. They could all wash the same time. So he made 12 spouts for the Kior. And if you remember, there were 13 Kohanim, but because one of them was the Shochet, or the Shochet did not have to be a Kohen, could be a Zar, so they wouldn't have a spout for him. There were only 12. V'af hu asa muchni la Kior. Not only that, he, Ben Katan, did something else for the Kior. Not only did he make 12 spouts sprouts instead of two, but he made a muchni for the queue. What's a muchni? So one explanation, it's like a pulley system. Muchni like machine. This way, we would avoid the problem of lina. Meaning what? Anytime you put something in a klisharis, could be flour, could be meat of a carbon, could be wine, could be blood, water, anything in a klisharis, if it's left overnight, it's pasul belina, it's disqualified. Just similar to the concept of noser as well. So when you had water that was sitting in the kior, that was taken out of a cistern from under the ground, if you left it overnight, it would become pasul. So here, we wanted to make sure that the water that we had, if even it was leftover water, it would not become pasul. So what would they do? They would have been cut and had a machine. It was like a pulley, a wheel, and then it went down into a bore, into a cistern, and it did what we do, what our mikvos do. Clearly, people who are going to the mikvah, they're not all going in rainwater. They're going in regular water from the tap. But because that water is connected through pipes to rainwater, which may be on the roof somewhere else in the mikvah where you can't see, and the waters are touching, hashaka, that concept to discuss in mikvos, is discussed in Maseches Beitz and the Mishnayos as well, hashaka, where literally the waters kiss, or maybe zriya, where they're planted inside, so to speak. There are ways that we make our mikvos kosher that way. That's precisely what's happening here. Here we have the water that potentially would become disqualified, but here it's being lowered now and touching mayim michubarin, water that is water of the earth, which is does not become disqualified if when it stays overnight. So now our water that we had in the kior remains kosher. The Rambam understands this a little bit differently. Muchni, he understands, was not this kind of machine, but it was some type of reservoir that had water that could store water until it was needed for the kior. So all it has, whatever this muchni was something that was connected to a source of water, and they can almost like turn on the faucet. Whenever you needed water, so we would open up this faucet, and water would come out of a place where, from the cistern, which was kosher water. This is the Rambam's understanding of the muchni. Either way, this is clearly something that was helpful for us, lahalacha, and Bar Tanura says here, he understands the first way, galgal, l'shak obabor, it was this pulley, to lower it and immerse it into this bor, sheyu meimav, michubarim bibor, v'lo yifsulu belina. Then, so that's what it says, he made af, hu asab mukhri lakior, sheloyu meimav, nifsulin belina, that was Ben Cotton's, that was the second thing that he instituted. Munbaz Hamelech Hayaose Kol Yedos Shel Yom HaKippurim Shel Zav. Munbaz, the king, would make all of the handles of the kalim they would use on Yom Kippur. He made them out of gold. Obviously, knives and the like, you don't want to make the whole thing out of gold. The blade you can make the handle you can make out of gold. But nonetheless, this is something Munbaz did. Who Munbaz is a question. What king he was? Was he part of was he the son of Herod, according to some? Part of the Hashmonan dynasty? Different opinions about Munbaz. Either way, Munbaz was the one who made all of the handles of the kalim used on Yom Kippur. He made them out of gold. And that was his contribution. It seems that we're praising him for such a thing. Hilni Imo, his mother Hilni, Munbaz's mother, what does she do? Oysa Nivreshes Shel Zahav Al Pischo Shel Heichol. She made this Nivreshes, this candelabrum, over the entrance of the Heichal. And what did that do? So this is what the Gemara describes on Daf Lamin Zayin, when the first rays of the sun as it was rising hit this Nivreshes, it reflected light that could be seen throughout Yerushalayim. And this way people knew it was time to recite Shema. So the Afi Asa Tavla Shel Zav, she also made a tablet of gold, She Parshas Sota Ksuva Aleha, where the Parsha of Sota was written. What do you need that for? So this was, we know that when it came to the Parsha of Sota, so the oath that's written in the Chumash is written on a parchment, which the Kohen put into the Mayim Hamarim, into the bitter water, which was mixed from earth, from the Mishkan itself, Mikarkaha Mishkan, as the Chumash says. says, and in order to avoid having to open up a Sefer Torah, for the Sofer to write down these shvuos on the paper, on the parchment for the Sota, then to be placed in the water and erased. So Hilni, Munbaz's mother, besides making this Nivreshes, she also made this Tavlis tablet, which just had what it was necessary for. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin says that you couldn't write, there's a problem here, you really weren't allowed to write less than a whole Sefer Torah. So the Gemara wants to know how this was possible, and the Gemara says they didn't even write these psukim completely on this tablet, on this tavla, only the first word of each pasuk and the initials of the other words in the pasuk, and this way it wasn't a problem of writing even a small section of the Sefer Torah, because there's an issue of writing a full Sefer Torah. And that's what Hilni did, once again, the Nevreshes, and Va'af Hiyasa Tavla Shel Zahav, this golden tablet, Sheparsha Sota Kesuvo Alea, for the Sofer to copy off of it. Nicanor, we mentioned him in the past, Nicanor, Nasu Nisim Ladal Sosav, miracles happened to his doors, Vahayumaz Kinu Aso L'Shevach, and they mentioned him L'Shevach. Now the next mission will have the people who we criticize, as it's we'll do in the next time, where it says Ve'ilu L'Gnai, people who we say we are going to criticize for what they did. But our whole Mishnah is all about people that we praise. Who is Nicanor? So the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Ches, Nicanor went to Alexandria in Mitzrayim to bring copper doors for the Beis HaMikdash. When he traveled, there was a storm, and they needed to throw off one of the doors because it was such a heavy burden. They're afraid the boat is going to capsize. He was all upset that they threw up off the door. And then they said, you know, we need to throw another door off. And he tied himself, Nicanor, to the other door and says, no, you're going to have to throw me off as well. And when he said that, so the storm stopped. And miraculously, when they came to Akko, they saw that heavy door, the one that they threw off, miraculously came along, floated along the whole way with them. And those two doors were used for the Beis HaMikdash, but even more so, when they changed all of the doors to gold and they covered them in gold, these they did not, in order to remember this miracle.